Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hope you had a riot-free weekend where you live. Ed Battagliano is with me today. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning. It's never a riot-free weekend when there's grandkids around.
Duly noted.
Yes.
Duly well played, yep. As they say. Fred Jackson, good morning, Fred.
Good morning, everyone.
We thank everybody for listening to AFR. If folks want to keep up with our show on the internet, what do they need to do, Ed?
Well, they can go to either Facebook or YouTube, search for Today's Issues, and click through, and you can watch our sometimes smiling faces. And also on Facebook, Brent Creeley, our producer, will post the show's articles that we deal with. Mm-hmm. So you can go, you want to get a little more detail, you want to delve down, dig deep, you can do that.
And you can send us an email at comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. Well, they had church in Southern California at Grace Community Church over the weekend, didn't they, Fred?
They sure did. And let me just play for you, Pastor John MacArthur. Here's how he opened up the service on Sunday, cut number three.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so happy to welcome you to the Grace Community Church peaceful protest.
And the crowd goes wild. Well, they love that.
President Trump also used that term, that expression. You have that one too?
We have that one too. Yeah, he was at his...
Set that one up.
Yeah, he was at his... President Trump was at his golf course on Friday evening. And it was a gathering of people who like President Trump, support President Trump. And he got a question from a Washington Post reporter who basically said, hey, President Trump, you know, thousands of people still dying across the country of COVID. And here you are with these people in this big room. And the president was ready with a response. Cut number six.
Just in this room, you have dozens of people. You're not following the guidelines in New Jersey, which say you should not have more.
No, they don't have.
This is
a political activity.
Why are you saying such a
thing? You're wrong on that, because it's a political activity. They have exceptions, political activity, and it's also a peaceful protest. So when you have, and as you know, they asked if they could be. You know, they, a number of, and to me, they look like they all have, pretty much all have masks on. But, you know, you have an exclusion in the law. It says peaceful protest or political activity, right? And you can call it political activity, but I call it peaceful protest, because they heard you were coming up, and they know the news is fake. They understand it better than anybody. And they asked whether or not, they asked whether or not they can be here. If the press in this country were honest, it wasn't corrupt, if it wasn't fake, our country would be so much further ahead. But we're doing really great. Thank you all very much. Thank you very much.
So there you have it. John MacArthur, President Trump, basically fighting back, I think, guys, against the hypocrisy that's out there. You've got state governments that say it's okay to protest in the streets, thousands of people.
Depending on what your cause is.
Yes. Right. Casinos, hey, it's okay to have 50%. I think John MacArthur, President Trump, are saying enough is enough.
You know, this is what a lot of us have been saying right along, and that is that the First Amendment cannot be used by the government as a weapon of preference. So you have some of these governors, like you mentioned, you have casinos in Nevada that can be 50%, but churches, no more than 10 people. And so I don't know how this is all going to shake out ultimately when this is all done and life gets back to quote unquote normal. If we do, or when that happens, we're going to look back at this. And I hope there are some really hard choices that we make in terms of our constitutional rights, because the president is pointing out, and John MacArthur is pointing out, that there are some mayors and some governors who want to pick and choose which Americans get to exercise their First Amendment freedoms. Mm-hmm. And I don't, I'm sure that that is not a constitutional. You can't say you have to social distance except if it's a Black Lives Matter protest. Then you can have thousands of people mm-hmm. in the street. Mm-hmm. That's just unconstitutional.
Well, that's what Mayor de Blasio said.
Yes.
In New York.
Right.
He said, but you can't do that. You can't treat one group differently than another.
Right.
Constitutionally, at least you can't, especially with respect to the First Amendment of the Constitution, it guarantees freedom of religion
right.
and freedom of speech and freedom to peaceably assemble. So freedom of religion includes going to church.
Right.
Who disagrees with that? And so what John MacArthur and others in California, he's the most high-profile pastor doing this, but there are many others in California as well. They're saying, listen, we have voluntarily participated in all the rules and regulations and safety measures that have been recommended over these past few months, but we're not going to. But if the government cannot continue to control our lives, our church life, and we're going to do what we are constitutionally free to do, and that is, you know, have our church operating.
Well, and I'm not sure what Grace Community Church, John MacArthur is the senior pastor there. I'm not sure what they did, but most of the churches that I know of, at least in our area, if they are back meeting, they are trying to practice social distancing. I went to church yesterday. Every other row was closed down. People are kind of spread out. We wear masks on the way in and on the way out. And I think most churches are trying to be somewhat flexible mm-hmm. on those things. So it's not like they, as far as I can tell, or everyone's just packing in like they used to. They're still trying to, like I said, be flexible. So for the government to say, well, it doesn't matter. You can only have 10 people in your church, but we're going to allow 200 in Walmart or at Lowe's, or 10,000 for a protest, that's just clearly unconstitutional. And people get tired of it because they see the contradictions mm-hmm. here. They see, oh, I see, so if you're protesting XYZ, you don't have to practice social distancing, mm-hmm. but we can't go to church. Well, you know what, we're not doing that anymore. That's how
but
breed rebellion.
But don't you think, Fred, that and Ed, that what John MacArthur and others are saying in other parts of the country too is when it comes down to who can decide how our church operates, mm-hmm. it's up to us.
When it gets to that point, and you guys have been pointing this out, these churches, including John MacArthur's church, initially go back to March. They were willing to go along with the restrictions that were put in place. The hypocrisy that has evolved since then is, you know, courts saying it's okay for or governors saying it's okay for protesters to meet thousands of them in the street without
yeah,
masks.
But
it's okay to have casinos 50% capacity, but you church, you can't do that.
I agree with you guys pointing out the double standard that mm. exists in the government between picking and choosing who can meet, who can march, and who can protest. Mm. And maybe we can ask Abe about this on Wednesday, and we can move on to another topic. I would argue that even if you had no Black Lives Matter protester marchers, that really is irrelevant. Yes, it's worth pointing out the double standard that exists, and that would help in a court case, I think. But the bottom line is that we have a First Amendment to the Constitution which guarantees freedom of religion, freedom of peacefully assemble, and freedom of the press or free speech. So if you want to say, you cannot say now that those rights are suspended indefinitely. Mm. And that's what these governments are doing. They're suspending the rights of the religious gatherers indefinitely. And often with just one person deciding.
Yeah.
A mayor or a governor, for example, without any input from the city council or from the legislature. But we'll see. I know in it wasn't a good ruling, at least a week or so ago, at the Supreme Court of the United States when they sided with the government of Nevada, the governor of Nevada. A church appealed and said we shouldn't be restricted by these 50-person limitations when casinos are limited by 50%. And the Supreme Court, 5-4, said, yes, you can be. You can be restricted. So, but that was, we'll see what happens going forward. But as far as I know, the churches in California have not yet had their electricity turned off or their water turned off, which was a threat given by the mayor of Los Angeles. I don't know if that church is in Los Angeles, though.
Los Angeles County. Yeah.
But we'll see what happens there. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Kind of breaking news overnight. I didn't hear about it till I got to work this morning, Fred, was what happened in Chicago last night.
Yeah, mob violence, hundreds of people smashing windows, going into stores. They even went into a Tesla dealership. What that has to do with, allegedly, the purpose of these protests, police brutality, I don't know.
Well, but AOC says they're just looking for bread.
Hold on a second. I think we're getting ahead of ourselves here, people who don't know what actually happened. What led to this, though?
Well, there was 10 miles away. The protest action last night in Chicago was in the downtown area, the Miracle Mile area. 10 miles away from there, there was an incident involving police and another man. This man is running from police. He shoots at police officers. The officers return fire. The man who was wounded is in hospital. We don't know his condition at this time. But that allegedly led to this protest downtown that involved breaking into stores and stealing things.
And including, you said, the Tesla dealership.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so somewhere in Chicago there was a police altercation with a suspect. The suspect got shot.
Mm-hmm.
The suspect was firing shots at the police.
Mm-hmm.
So the looting, the rioting, the protesting, of course, the mayor, even the very, very liberal mayor of Chicago, has said one had nothing to do with the other.
That's right.
But the interesting thing here, guys, is that this looting and rioting has moved out of the, quote, ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
And into the Miracle Mile area of Chicago, which I've been to Chicago a few times. I've been to that Miracle Mile area three times. That's like a Broadway in New York or Fifth Avenue. It's very famous. A lot of high-end shopping goes on there. So these rioters, these looters are going in. They're moving to the wealthy part of Chicago is what I'm saying here. There may be multiple wealthy parts of Chicago, but you're talking about it was a big problem last night. Aftermath of I'm reading from the Chicago Tribune. Aftermath of looting in downtown Chicago, 13 cops injured, 2 people shot, more than 100 arrests. And who knows what'll happen tonight and the night after that and the night after that if it goes the way of Portland, for example, or Seattle, what happened there. I don't know what these liberal mayors are going to do about their cities, Ed, because Chicago, New York, Portland, Seattle.
Minneapolis.
Spiraling, I would use the expression spiraling out of control.
Yeah, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot said, "We are not going to let our city be taken over by criminals and vigilantes." Well, it's almost like wanting to lock the old expression, lock the barn door after the horse escapes. What you have done by allowing this to go on for weeks and weeks and weeks in the follow-up to the George Floyd killing is you have these large cities that have sent, let's put it, as mildly as possible and say that these liberal mayors have sent mixed signals to the criminal element in their cities. These, which Lori Lightfoot calls criminals and vigilantes, they have gotten the message that the police are not going to do anything, or perhaps might even be defunded. And so in this case, over the weekend with Chicago, the article I'm reading from Fox News says car caravans of looters made their way into Chicago's Magnificent Mile, Gold Coast, and Irving North neighborhoods and neighboring commercial districts overnight. Car caravans.
Yeah.
So these people all jumped in cars and in vans, and they headed for the upscale areas of Chicago, and they were just waiting for whatever spark would validate their actions. And I think that it may be too late for these mayors to get this under control unless they are willing to let the police absolutely do their jobs. Mm-hmm. And if they're willing to do that and people get arrested, they stay in jail, not like New York that got rid of most of their bail restrictions. They're right back out on the street. I know we've got a couple of stories to cover about that, but these people have to, you have to let the police do their jobs. You have to support the police. You have to let people, let them get arrested and then be prosecuted. And that's the only way you can restore.
In other words, you have to be a racist.
That's the way they'll be accused.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
These mayors are now in a mess because they've sided with those who call the cops racist. They defund the police for the most part, either by not supporting the police or they've been playing to the Black Lives Matter movement.
Right.
And I hate to even use that expression because there is a group in the Antifa. Again, folks, just to distinguish, we're not talking about Black Lives Matter, the sentiment, or the that certainly we all can agree with. Black lives do matter. We're talking about the organization, Black Lives Matter, and the protesters that are identified with the Antifa group, the Black Lives Matter organization, which are Marxist.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the mayhem they think helps their cause. So, but man, I don't want to be alarmist, but maybe I do want to be alarmist. There's a time for alarm, right? But if I'm living in these big cities, I have businesses in these big cities, I'm getting out.
Yeah. Right.
As soon as possible.
I think
it's only going to get worse, don't you think, Fred?
Yeah, and Ed just alluded to it a moment ago. The political leadership of these cities are reaping what they've sown.
Yes.
They have been anti-police. I mean, go back a few years, Baltimore, Democrat run. You've got problems in St. Louis, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, Portland, Oregon last night. 70th night in a row of protests. This time, a police union building was attacked. Police injured. Remember, the mayor of Portland initially was marching with the mob. Now he's out there crying about this has got to stop.
I know.
I mean, are they that naive, these leaders, these Democrat mayors and governors, that they don't think that their weakness is going to just create more problems?
Well, let me just stop and answer your question. Yes, they are naive, and here's why: because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah.
And these people, you're talking about these liberal leftist secularist mayors who don't believe in God, and then, like Frank Turk says, they hate him, and they hate the Bible, they hate Christianity, so they are blind to the reality of human nature as described by the Bible. So that's why they think it's going to end well if you get rid of the police and you set up social workers to handle disagreements, quote-unquote, within these communities. So, yes, they are naive, because they do not fear God and they don't understand the way the world actually works.
And they would say that the police presence is provoking these rioters.
And that's the only reason why they're rioting. They're being provoked by the police.
Right.
There's no criminals in there. There's no Marxists in there trying to overthrow
the government. If they weren't being oppressed and by the police, then they would otherwise act right.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the belief of these.
They wouldn't break into Tesla. They wouldn't break into upscale
shopping. As Ed Pitagliano says, reality is a hard teacher.
Yeah.
And isn't that what you say?
Brutal.
Brutal teacher. And the mayor of Portland is finding out that because that's going on 70-something nights here of several hundred people just roaming through downtown Portland, it sounds like.
I have there was an interview on the weekend. The Attorney General of the United States, Bill Barr, was on Mark Levin's program on Fox. Basically, he says this has nothing to do with George Floyd or police brutality. What we see going on in our streets right now is an ideological, political effort to take over the country. Marxism, cut number four.
They've shredded the norms of our system, and I think it's because of the desire for power. In the old days, you could have friends across the aisle. You know, politics was part of your life, but it wasn't all-consuming. I think what's happened is that the left wing has really withdrawn and pulled away from the umbrella of classical liberal values that have undergirded our society since our founding. I think the left really represents a Rousseauian revolutionary party that believes in tearing down the system. And they're interested in complete political victory. They're not interested in compromise.
And I think what the Attorney General is doing there, and I'd be interested in your comments, He is lumping together these protesters with liberal politicians, basically the Democrat leadership.
He gets it. This guy gets it, right. William Barr. He understands the philosophical ideas that are going on here that are behind the anarchists, the people that are trying to overthrow the government, people who are trying to burn down cities, and so forth and so on.
Yeah, no, this is not your dad's
Democrat Party.
Democratic Party or your dad's politics from the 80s and the 90s, where you had people who could disagree, as the Attorney General says. This leftist version, this Marxist version, in my opinion, of the Democratic Party, they're not interested in compromise. There is no compromise with the oppressors. That's the Marxist view of the bourgeoisie. You have capitalism and capitalists. They must be liquidated. Okay, there's no compromise with true Marxists. Okay, and I'm not talking about people who are confused about socialism and think big welfare programs are the same thing as socialism. True socialism says no more private property for you wealthy people. We're taking it away and we'll liquidate you. That is the Marxist mentality. These people are not interested in just piecemeal change. Let's vote something. Let's vote a new bill through Congress and get some relief. No, they don't want a Congress. Okay? They don't want a Constitution. They want it overthrown. There is no compromise with such people.
It's like Colin Kaepernick, the former NFL quarterback. He tweeted on July 4th that basically saying to other Americans, you can have your Independence Day, it's not mine.
Right.
In other words, I'm detached, I don't want any part of this country because it's racist from the beginning and it's therefore illegitimate.
They view it as
the ideology of the secular progressives, if you will.
Well, the ones that tend towards
not all of them, but yeah.
But it's like a weed. You don't compromise with the weed. You don't dress it up. You pull it out. That's the way Colin Kaepernick and others view this country.
Right. All right, we'll be back in just a moment with more. The president's poll numbers are improving a lot, and we'll talk about why that is when we get back from the break. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
People are finding their voices and they're beginning to speak out. Black, white, brown, all kinds of people are saying to themselves, something is wrong with this picture. And you know what? I actually love my country.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Have you ever wanted to walk where Jesus walked? That's right, Israel, the Holy Land. That's where we're going in March 2021. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We have set our dates for our trip, March 16th through the 24th, and we'd love to have you join us for this, for many people, once-in-a-lifetime trip to the Holy Land. For more information, just visit the website, twholyland.com. twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to your home, we can do that. You need to call 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address, and we'll get that brochure in the mail to you. Again, it's going to be a wonderful time with Christian brothers and sisters from around the country as we go and see Israel.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Wondering how you'll finish your degree now? At Liberty University, we want to help. So when you transfer into one of our more than 100 undergraduate online programs this fall, you could earn up to $3,600 in transfer student scholarships, or more if you live in Virginia. That means you could pay less than $900 per course and transfer in up to 75% of your degree. That's up to 90 credits. Save time and money at a school that's been helping students like you for over 30 years. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
The Offenbecker family owns the Nordic Pineapple, a bed and breakfast in St. John's, Michigan. As part of the decor, they proudly flew the Norwegian flag, an homage to the family's Scandinavian heritage. But the other day, they were forced to remove that flag because they were deluged with complaints about the flag being racist. Apparently, locals thought the Norwegian flag was a Confederate flag. Mr. Offenbecker told the Lansing State Journal he's blown away by the stupidity of people. Still, the cancel culture mob says that flag needed to come down because it could have been perceived to be a Confederate flag. There are two takeaways here. First, never back down to the cancel culture mob. You need to stand up to the bullies. And second, a good many people around St. John's don't have the sense God gave a goose. Be sure to listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern on the radio or online at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hey, before we jump back into, I want to talk about the poll numbers for President Trump, for those who believe in polls, and I'm not necessarily one of them. Depends on what poll it is and how reputable they are. Talk about that, but I'm a big college football fan, and it looks like the season may be canceled. I don't know. The Big Ten is deciding. That's, you know, the conference that represents Ohio State, for example, Indiana.
Michigan, all those.
Michigan, that part of the country. And then you got Pac-12, which is out west. The SEC, I think they're going to – they're probably all going to do – my guess it would be they'll all do it, or they
– or none
they,
of
or
them.
They, or they won't. I'm guessing. But that would be a big deal, because you're talking about college towns depend – I'm not talking about TV revenue, but I'm talking about college towns depend heavily on those six or seven home games that they have, you know – 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 100,000 fans come into their town for a few days. And so it could be devastating to the economy of a lot of these college communities.
Right.
If they don't.
Piled on top of the shutdowns and all that.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to end up doing about that. It seems to me you would play the season and let the players who don't want to play opt out. If you want to restrict fans in terms of how many people you allow in your stadium, do it that way, or don't allow fans at all. Just say we're going to play on TV like some of these other leagues are doing. If I think what some of these colleges and universities are worried about is having players get sick and maybe one of them dies. All it takes is one of them dying. Now, chances of that happening are very, 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 very slim because these are young, healthy athletes, right?
Right.
And they're more likely to something else happen, like a car wreck, than dying of COVID. But nonetheless, the schools are saying we don't want to be sued by the family. You know what I'm saying? So they let. It seemed to me like you're going to have waivers signed by athletes. It's a new day, right? It's a new age, and they're going to have waivers signed by athletes and their families saying we will not hold school responsible should your kid get sick, you know, and hospitalized or, God forbid, die. So,
well, and plus, I'll just say this one thing. Once you cancel the season, which it looks like these two conferences you mentioned are considering doing, we'll find out more later today. But once you cancel the whole season, that's it. So, I mean, if you at least say we're going to play games without fans, we're going to have waivers. If you want to play, you can. If you don't, you don't. No fans. At least if they come up with a vaccine, for example, and they say, hey, listen, the crisis is over, you get these vaccines, then you can start letting certain number of fans in. You see what I'm saying? As the season progresses.
Yeah.
But once you cancel the season, that's it. You're not going to get it back till next
year.
Let
me ask you this question. And maybe I know I would be accused of being too simplistic here. But it seems to me, with all these events and with schools, why can't you just let people who want to participate, participate, and those who don't, don't? Mm-hmm. Why is that not a reasonable solution to these dilemmas?
Well, because the argument is being made that you have the right to determine whether you wind up getting coronavirus, but you don't have the right to get it and then give it to other people who are trying to be careful. So I think that's the – I'm not saying I buy it. I'm just saying I think that's the argument, is because this is spread from person to person. One person may say, I'm willing to take the risk, but then
I would counter, but I understand that. But and you do have government officials do have to consider the public health.
Right.
At large, in general. Okay, I can appreciate that. But we're going on 5 or 6 months here now, so people know, basically you get this from being around somebody who has it, and you're in close proximity to them.
Right.
That's the way we're finding out for an extended period of time, 30 minutes, an hour, who knows exactly. But you're within 2 or 3 feet of them, that's
right.
The person. That's the reason CDC has social distancing from 6 feet away. So I'm just saying that... the person you say who goes to the football game, for example, that because they're going to the football game, then when they leave the football game, they're putting others in jeopardy because they've been exposed at a football game.
Right.
Okay. That would be the argument you're expressing, right?
That's not the argument I'm expressing. That's the argument I'm saying would be given.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not my argument.
I would say then when you leave the football game, continue to practice social distancing. See what I'm saying? And if you're worried about getting it, don't be mad at somebody who went to a football game or another event, i.e. church, for example. So they wanted to do that. They wanted to live their lives. Just don't be around that person.
Right.
In close proximity for a long period of time.
In fact, I agree with you. That, to me, is the right approach. And we're going to have to take that approach eventually because, as we talked about before the show, coronavirus isn't going away.
No, it's, who knows if it ever will.
It just may be something we have to deal with. And that, what you just expressed, is exactly the way we're going to wind up having to deal with it. So why don't we start doing that now?
Mm-hmm. Just people are deciding now. Do they want to stay home or do I want to go out to the Kroger or the Walmart or whatever to do, or, you know, so you unless you just want to shut down forever? I mean, I'm exaggerating here, but what if this doesn't go away? And I don't know that it will go away, despite what President Trump hopes that it will. I know. Now, I know if Joe Biden wins, it goes away November 4th, right?
And what if there is no vaccine, or what if the vaccine doesn't work?
What if it mutates?
What if it mutates, and then it's like the flu? Well, we got 15 varieties of the coronavirus this year, yeah. So.
The good thing is, that the death rate for this is what? Is it even 1%?
No, below that, well below.
Yeah, it's like 0.03, isn't it? Yeah. Well, it's 3%. Isn't it
3%? 0.03.
I don't think it's 0.03.
0.003?
No, I think it's 0.03, which is 3%.
Yeah, it depends on how you calculate it. Do you calculate it using case numbers versus deaths, or do you calculate it deaths versus the total population?
Yes, and part of the part of the issue is we don't actually know how many people have had it and showed no symptoms, because you'd have to factor that in, and that would also drive down the death rate. But my understanding is if you just look at the numbers, like on Fox or some of these others, it's like a 3% death rate. Am I not? You guys are looking at me.
In the U.S.?
In the U.S. You guys are looking at me like.
So you're telling me 3 people out of 100 who get coronavirus die.
That is my understanding.
That's pretty high.
Well, that's if you're going case-wise.
Yeah.
But if you go against the total population of the United States.
Right. Case-wise would be what you know. Yes. Right? People who've tested positive, right?
Correct.
Okay. So we don't know how many other people.
You guys got me questioning myself. So we have 163,000 deaths divided by 5 million cases.
Yes.
In the U.S.
All right, do your math.
It's 0.03. That's 3%. That's 3%.
No, hold on just a minute. Excuse me. Pardon me. I just want to clarify here. Are you saying 3 out of 100? Are you saying 0.3 out of 100?
No, 0.3 is 3%. If you divide 163 by 5 million, the answer is 0.03, right? That's the
0.03.
That's the tens. Mm. That's 3%. Am I not right?
So 3 out of 100.
3 out of 100.
3 out of 100.
Who have it?
If you believe those numbers, and I'm not, we can all come up, but you're trying to do the best you can with the information you have,
right?
So we understand that people may say those numbers are bogus, and I understand that. But let's just, for argument's sake, say those numbers are correct. You're telling me that 3 out of 100 people who get COVID-19 die?
Yes.
Okay. That seems high to me. Seems much higher than the flu, right?
I think it is higher than the flu.
Yeah, if those numbers are correct.
If these numbers
now,
are correct.
I will say this. And every time you say something like I'm about to say, people go, you don't care about old people. No, but the vast majority of these people who are dying are elderly. And by elderly, I mean 75, 78 up. And I know there are people listening to me who are 82 going, I'm not elderly. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Older people who are more vulnerable, nursing homes, and people with underlying health conditions who should probably just be staying home right now.
Right.
I would if I was in that situation. If you could, as much as possible, stay home, stay away from people. But still, I mean, that just seems high to me, 3%, but maybe that's correct.
Well, you guys got me second-guessing myself.
I didn't think it was that high. 3 out of 100.
Well, again, it goes back with what number you put on the bottom.
Right.
You put the number of cases on the bottom, or do you put the total population?
What you're saying is Ed's talking about, okay, we know how many people they say have died of COVID-19.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Okay. And what Ed's getting that death rate from is the number of confirmed cases.
Correct.
All right. What you're saying, Fred, is there's probably who knows how many people who've had it and were not symptomatic, and so we don't count those in the total number of cases because they never got tested. You know that's true, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you do it by that number, then the death rate goes way down.
All right, I may be wrong here, okay?
Now, Diane's never heard you say that.
Oh, well, yes, she has. okay, so this is the CDC just confirmed a 0.2% death rate. But this has been, we're just going to have, listen, we will get back to you on this, because now this is a claim that is being called false, that it, we're going to.
What's being called false?
That the claim.
Your 3%?
Is that the CDC estimates the death rate to be around 0.3%, but won't confirm it. So
that's what Tim said.
That's what you're saying, that it's like a third of a percent.
That's what I thought was a more accurate number, universally accepted number. 3%, but that's why I said. Now, I did have my zeros wrong a while ago.
Okay, yeah. No, I think you're right. I think it is a third of a percent.
Would that not be 0.003?
Yeah, okay. That's right.
Okay, gotcha. You're listening to Today's Issues. Math is free here, folks. Listen, at-home learning.
I am so sorry, you
want
folks.
You want some deciphering? Right here is the place to come. We'll continue on tomorrow as we hit pre-algebra. all right.
Listen, that got so bad, my daughter-in-law... My daughter-in-law
just said, "Please be quiet."
And so she says, "Death rate is 0.3%." So my daughter-in-law was embarrassed. I'm embarrassed. I'm probably blushing.
Okay. Well, I
had it wrong.
3%. Anyway,
that's how bad
all
that
right.
got.
Well, I put Thank you. On you the, I put you on the spot. We had not talked about this prior to the show, and you were doing it on the fly. So,
and I was using my phone. Yeah. When I wrote every day for the AFA Journal. They always knew if I put a fraction in my story to double check it. So I'm not a math person.
Do you remember back in when was it algebra starts? Is that seventh grade?
About that. Junior high.
I took it in junior high.
Okay. I remember I was sailing along in math.
I mean, you got the algebra?
I was cruising with A's. On adding, subtracting, multiplying, and dividing. And I wasn't an A student necessarily, but I was doing adding, subtracting, multiplying, and dividing. I had that down. And then you walk into seventh grade math class, and they start throwing this crazy X times Y2 equal what?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Huh? And I'm going, what? This isn't math. This is a science math hybrid.
Yeah.
That you've introduced here. So
variables, but, and variables, and
anyway, it was like a whole new world.
How about geometry? With you had to memorize theorems and proofs, and that was fun.
Yes, I fell asleep in that class a couple times.
Well, I apologize, folks. I'm not going to enter into mathematical.
I did graduate from college, and no, I will not tell you my GPA. If you're listening to Today's Issue, got my paper, it's on the wall. That's all I care about.
That's all that counts.
30 years later, nobody's asking me what my grade point average was. All right, Fred, the president's poll numbers are, again, like with the numbers related to COVID-19, it's whether you believe them and who they are and whether they're reputable or not, but the president's numbers are improving in terms of versus Biden, right?
Yeah, and I think, you know, we'll use it as the floor of the discussion that overall the poll numbers for the president are getting better, all right? So what are the reasons for that? I think the people of the nation are growing weary of the claim that the pandemic is the president's fault, that somehow he didn't act early enough. Check the facts on it. He was ahead of Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi in setting the alarm bells. But also, we're 5 months into this pandemic. The president is pushing to open up the country again, to get the economy rolling again. And people who are going back to work and they're doing just fine, they're scratching their heads and saying, why does Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer want to keep the economy locked down? And so that's a couple of the reasons. I think another big reason, quite frankly, is that Joe Biden is not doing well with the American public. I mean, we had another incident last week. He was answering questions from a group of Hispanic and African-American reporters. He had a virtual news conference with them. And he got a question from NPR's Lula Garcia Navarro, who basically, you know, the Hispanic communities are the question.
Do you have the soundbite for this?
I have the soundbite. The question that was being asked is, if you're elected president, are you going to reengage the Cuba and the Cuban population? This is how he responded to that question from Garcia Navarro. Cut number one.
What you all know, but most people don't know, unlike the African-American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things. You go to Florida, you find a very different attitude about immigration in certain places than you do when you're in Arizona. So it's a very different, a very diverse community.
Now, the immediate interpretation of that was, all black people think alike, unlike right. Hispanics, who have different opinions on different things.
Well, let me just say this. He's right when he talks about Hispanics, right, or Spanish-speaking people.
Because they can come from Ecuador or Mexico
yeah.
or Cuba.
They're widely diverse in that respect. Cubans, you got Cubans, you got Dominicans, you got
right.
Mexicans, you got who knows? You got all kind of people that would be called, quote, Hispanics. But the way he said it was, he goes, unlike the, what did he say?
Unlike like the African-American community. Isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If he had left why that did he, part
why
off.
Did he, why did he throw that in there?
Well, I think the problem is this is not the first time he's gotten in trouble on this kind of response. You know, remember he said, you ain't black if you're not voting for me or something
like that. Yeah, you ain't black.
Yeah.
So you start to add these things up and plus other things.
He's trying his best, guys. He is trying his best to pander.
Yes, and it's that's what this
so,
is. It's pandering.
It's so hard when you're dealing with 8 out of 10 on a brain operating scale. All right? Huh?
You're talking about his cognitive abilities?
Yes, I'm disc, whatever they say. But anyway, we all know what I'm talking about. I'm
right.
making fun of the guy. Listen, if the guy's going to run for president, it's open season.
Right.
So we can't say, well, you can't talk. Normally you would say to make fun of a person suffering from what appears to be dementia is cruel. And I would agree with that. We shouldn't, you know, nobody wants to, because they can't help it.
Right.
They can't help it. And guess what? We're all going to get there if we live long enough. Most all of us are. So it's not something you laugh at or make fun of. But if you're going to hold yourself up as somebody who wants to be president of the United States, leader of the free world, and you can't speak well, you can't think well. In public, you can't process information, you don't want to do interviews, then that's fair game, because you're putting yourself out there, right? So do you have that quote where he talks about him taking a test and calls the guy a junkie?
Oh, that was from last week, yeah.
Now, that had a profanity in it, so I wouldn't...
I think the version that we used...
We bleeped it out.
But Brent's giving me a I don't know look. So, Brent, what percentage chance do you think we have of
of Joe Biden? Anyway,
we better make sure that we get the right quote.
So the bottom line is the numbers are improving mm-hmm. for President Trump in these polls that have shown him down as much as 10 to 12 to 13 points to Joe Biden in the last 2 weeks. Those have closed by half. Yeah. Rasmussen on another poll that I pretty well have confidence in, and that's showing Biden ahead by 3 or 4 points, I think, maybe 5.
Yeah.
Three points.
I think, too, you know, remember we had the Republican congressman, I just forget his name right now, who said, listen to what the Democrats are saying. He called on the American people to listen
yeah.
to what the Democratic Party is saying. Joe Biden, I guess to his credit, has come out there with a platform, but it's a scary platform. The Green New Deal, basically getting rid of the fossil fuel industry in this country. That's scary to a lot of people because they understand gas prices going through the roof, food prices going through the roof. So that scares people.
Well, I'll tell you what else scares people. And this ad's going to come out before long. The Republicans will be using it. The Trump campaign will be using it. The Democrat Party nationally is for no borders.
Yes.
You let that sink in for just a minute. Now, they're going to say, no, we are for borders. We're just for, I don't know what they're going to. No, some of them say straight up, we're for no borders. They're asking Biden now, you're going to tear down the fences that President Trump has built on the border. Mm-hmm. He'll be committed to tearing down those fences because he said he's not building any more new ones.
Right,
that's right.
So they'll put a little language. Biden will put a little language on it to keep people from thinking it's complete open borders, but it will be no borders in essence because that's the only way you please AOC and the Democrat Party leadership who are responding to these people who don't want borders. Also, remember that debate they had down in Miami, I think it was, and all the Democrat candidates raised their hand and said, yes, we're provide free health care for anybody who can get here illegally. Mm-hmm, remember
right,
that?
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be played as a campaign ad. So there are some positions that the Democrat Party and the Biden campaign have staked out here, which are going to be exposed to the masses that maybe heretofore, if I can use a Friday word, have only been kept to maybe the news junkies
who
follow debates and discussions and everything. But these things will be fleshed out. But another thing I wanted to say to the president's credit, I think when his numbers went down, presidents I'm talking about, is when he started doing those daily COVID-19 and he went on for weeks and weeks. You remember that?
Yep.
And he got undisciplined.
Right.
He just started getting into arguments with the reporters, and it got counterproductive, I would say. And then he backed off and said, I'm not going to do that anymore. Now he's doing them more, but he's talking about this publicly, but he's being more disciplined.
Yes.
In his words that he says and the way he's handling it, I think people are saying that's more presidential.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's self-corrected there.
And that helps his numbers because his Trump's character and his personality and his attributes, as you've said, Tim, are both his greatest strength and his greatest weakness. And when he can discipline those times when he wants to get super combative with anyone and everyone, doesn't matter if it's a C-list Hollywood actor who tweets something,
right,
he feels the need to fire back. When he can discipline himself away from that part, people like the Law and Order Trump, we're going to get the economy back going Trump, we're going to protect our police, we support our police, we support the borders. That's the message that people want
he
to hear.
He needs
from Trump
to focus on the difference between him and the Republicans and the Democrats in message and substance and what he would do versus Biden.
Right. Yep.
That's what he needs to hammer home. Mm-hmm. Forget about talking about Alec Baldwin.
Right. Okay? Exactly.
Okay. Forget all that stuff. And no more, wouldn't it be great if we could inject bleach?
Yes. That's right. Even if it's just goofing around. He's just kidding around. The media is going to treat it like he's giving a prescription to people.
He didn't mean it literally like that. He was just making an off-the-cuff comment, but they said, Trump's saying inject bleach.
Yes.
He didn't even say that. All right, we'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.